try something a little bit different for the next couple of weeks. And it's going to be Rav Amital's yard site in Chodesh Tammuz, right before, it was the end of Tammuz, Zion Tammuz, I think. So I wanted to try to capture something a little different about Rav Amital's Torah. Rav Amital obviously shared a lot of machshava and a lot of Torah, but he also told a lot of stories. And stories are very impactful. You remember stories. And in ways sometimes you don't remember ideas. And also stories help make ideas much more concrete. When people speak about ideas, the real question is does it penetrate down to reality, to your life? Or these are, go to a shir, you listen to an idea, you get very interested in the idea. But how do you then make sure that you're implementing those ideas when you go into your daily life? That's really the question of development and of identity, is to try to fasten ideas to real life. So stories have a way of making ideas more concrete and more vivid and more graphic, because you can imagine yourself being Matala or Yankala or the person in the story. So I wanted to share with you some of Rav Amital's well-known stories and then how they impacted me, because obviously stories impact people differently. So it was to know how other people were impacted, but it's impossible. But how did it impact me? So, of course, you all know the famous story. I'm not going to repeat that, but that just shows the power of a story. The baby crying. All you have to mention is the baby crying. It's almost a cliche. It's such a powerful story because you can all imagine yourself in that situation. You want to learn. You're doing a mitzvah. There's some. How many times have you had that exact situation? How many times have you heard a baby crying on a plane or a baby crying in the Beis Medrash? And your first instinct may have been to shush or to be disturbed, to be annoyed. And all of a sudden, that story enters into your imagination. You say, wait a second, let me see if I can help carry the carriage or help quiet the baby. I'm on planes sometimes. I'm holding babies. Big families get on the planes. And so it just highlights and illustrates the power of a story. But people don't know a different story Rav Amital told in that setting. What was that setting? That setting was when he was meeting with the first group of boys who were considering the yeshiva in 1968. And there was a parlor meeting, whether they wanted to come to Gush. These were students such as Yaakov Medan, the first group, and such as Uzi Friedlich. And they were considering, should we come to yeshiva? And they said, well, what will make your yeshiva unique? So he told them the baby crying story. This yeshiva will be sensitive to the cry of the baby, namely to serve in the army and answer the cry of Am Yisrael's baby needs. But he told them another story. That's the story I'll tell you today. It's a classic fable about a yid in Russia who gets caught stealing, gets thrown into jail. They call the Rebbe. The Rebbe comes into jail to help him out. 2-3 months later, the same poor Jew gets caught stealing again and gets tossed into a jail cell. They call the Rebbe. The Rebbe comes into the jail cell and says, obviously, you have an addiction. I also have addictions. Takes him out of jail. 3-4 months later, the same Jew gets caught a third time stealing. And they call the Rebbe. Again, these stories, I may be changing bits here and there. It's not like a Tosafot, so you can go back and look at the original text. These are stories that were delivered about best. I hope I'll capture the gist of them. 3-4 months later, same chassid gets caught stealing, tossed into jail. Called the Rebbe. The Rebbe says, well, obviously, you're a kleptomaniac. People have problems in lives, and he consoles him, and he comforts him, and he walks him out of jail. A few months later, the Rebbe dies. So they appoint his son as the successor. A couple months after the succession and the Levaya, the same chassid gets caught a fourth time stealing, tossed into jail. They say, call the Rebbe. The Rebbe's dead. Or call his son. The son comes bursting into the jail cell, lambasting this chassid. How dare you? Such an insult to my father's memory. He was there for you, loyal for your needs, and this is how you repay his, this is your gratitude. You should rot in jail for a little bit to understand the severity of your crimes, and then maybe I'll bail you out in a few hours, a few days. And this poor chassid starts bawling. He says, you don't understand, Rebbe. You don't understand. I'm a ganef. I'm not a tzaddik. He says, you're a Rebbe for tzaddikim. It's easy to be Rebbe's for tzaddikim. But I'm a ganef. I'm a Russia. I don't need a Rebbe for tzaddikim. Your father, oh, he was a Rebbe for a shayim. I'm a ganef. I don't need you. It's easy to be a Rebbe for tzaddikim. I want a Rebbe for a shayim. Your father, oh, he was a Rebbe for a shayim. I need your father. So Rav Amital turned to the Talmidim and said, there are plenty of yeshivas for tzaddikim. I want to open a yeshiva for a shayim. That's what he evidently told them. Okay. So what does this story mean? So in the Hasidic constellation, in the constellation of Hasidus, it of course means that the role of the Rebbe was not just to hobnob with tzaddikim and study Talmud Torah, but to be there. And one of Hasidus' great revolutions is carving out space even for people who weren't tzaddikim in the classic sense, who weren't Talmidei Chachamim in the classic sense, fallen people. The Rebbe's job is to be... There's a lot to talk about. We talked about it in the past. I'm not here to repeat all the Hasidic lore. But what I think it meant to Rav Amital in terms of his yeshiva were two things. This is my takeaway. Again, it's hard to know what he meant, but this is how the story has impacted me over the last 40 years. Number one is, how can you open a yeshiva that's as broad as possible? I think a word a lot of people like to use with yeshivas is, we have a shtark yeshiva. Our yeshiva is shtark. You're shtark. I'm shtark. There's an exclusive nature to that. My famous machlokas, Shammai and Hillel. Who should come to yeshiva? Shammai had four qualifications for entering into yeshiva. You have to be smart, humble, pedigreed, and rich. If you're not smart, you'll distort it. If you're not humble, you'll pervert it. If you're not pedigreed, you won't understand its nature. If you're not rich, you'll prostitute it for profit. So there's a sense that we want the shtark boys in yeshiva. And Hillel said, let's teach as many people Torah as possible. The day that they deposed Rabbi Gamliel, they added hundreds of benches to the Beis Medrash. So there's always a tension in the world of Torah, in the world of yeshivos. Do you go more narrow or more broad? I think in today's world, there's been a tendency towards narrowing the field, even though yeshivas are now mega yeshivas. But that word shtark is, let's get all of the shtark guys. We want the shtark guys in yeshiva. We don't want to be in any way disturbed or disrupted by non-shtark guys. And I don't think that's how Rav Amital viewed his yeshiva. How can I create a yeshiva that's broad enough to have boys from Melbourne and boys from London and boys from Teaneck and boys Israelis and boys at different stages and now Baruch Hashem special needs, and then there's some boys whose sense of excellence is learning Talmud Torah and other boys whose sense of excellence is climbing through the army ranks, and it's hard. It's hard to maintain a yeshiva that has such a sweep and such a spectrum and such a variety. But it's easy to be a Rebbe for a tzaddikim. It's easy to have a yeshiva for a tzaddikim. It's easy just to have a shtark yeshiva and just stand at the door and disqualify and exclude those who aren't shtark. On the other hand, if yeshiva is too broad and too sweeping, then it won't be a pitch and intensity. And so Rav Amital always, I think, felt that yeshiva should have a sweep to try to embrace all types of people. I think the second thing, and again, he never said these things, but hearing him speak so often, I connected it to this story, is we fall very quickly into these traps of, okay, who are the tzaddikim and who are the rishayim? Raise your hand if you're a tzaddik, raise your hand if you're a rasha. Sit at your makom in the Beis Medrash, and you know who the shtark boys are, the tzaddikim boys, and the rishayim. And it's certainly in the modern sense the way we view identity. We all have moments. There's no tzaddik, there's no rasha. We all have moments. It's very caustic, it's very judgmental. So he's the tzaddik, he's the rasha. There are moments we act like a tzaddik, and quite frankly, there are moments we act like a rasha every day of our lives. And hopefully the balance has shifted. Rasha, not that we go murder anyone or burn anyone's house down, but evidently there are moments in our life we come up short. So this sense of, well, who's the tzaddik? And Rav Amital said, I'll open yeshiva for a shayim. Namely, stop with this preening, which can become very offensive and very exhibitionist and very self-aggrandizing. I'm the Rav Tzaddik, and we're the tzaddik. And I remember Rav Amital called me in the day I started teaching. The first day, gave my marching orders. And so now your teacher says, whatever you do, and it's a famous line, but I remember he told to me, whatever you do, don't let the tzaddikim ruin the yeshiva. Why? Because it's always the more driven boys in yeshiva that get into the space where they know exactly what's wrong with yeshiva. They know exactly how to reform the yeshiva. They're fanatical. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's exclude this one. Let's make this list. And it gets to the point, and that's what it means to be 18, 19, 20, 25. There's a lot of zeal and a lot of last week's parsha where Yeshua wants Moshe to incarcerate Eldad and Medad. And then you realize that even those people, sometimes it's the people that are the most vocal, that shout the loudest, they're the biggest rishayim, because they're covering up certain deficiencies and insecurities by trying to appear fanatical, to appear so from in everyone's eyes, maybe even in their own eyes. So that's what that story meant to me. Number one is, how can you have a yeshiva? It's broad. Number two is, stop with this, who's the tzaddik, who's the rasha? We meet many people in our lives, and everyone gives us certain moments that sick us and moments of rasha. So we'll see how far we can take this, how many stories I can uncover, and how they change our lives. Okay? Look at that, everyone.